The subject matter in this episode may not be suitable for young listeners, so please be advised and use your discretion accordingly. Being a ministry wife is a role without a job description, and let's be honest, sometimes it seems like ministry might be easier if we did have one. If you are a ministry wife and are looking for hope, perspective, and a little bit of practical advice regarding your role, you're in the right place. Hi, I'm Christine Hoover, and I'm a pastor's wife myself, and I want to welcome you to the Ministry Wives Podcast, a production of the North American Mission Board. Join me as we hear from women from various ministry contexts, having authentic conversations about our shared joys and challenges, even the ones we're unsure we can talk about out loud. No topic is off limits. My guest for today is Neera Abeya. Neera is married to Jose, and together they serve at Providence Road Church in Miami, Florida. They have 6 kids, and Neera really enjoys serving in the women's ministry. Neera joins me today to talk about fear, all the fears that come when we are planning to church plant and we are in church planting of any kind. So here, friends, is my conversation with Neera Abeya. Thanks so much for joining me, Neera. I'm glad to know you and get to meet you today.
Oh, it's so fun to be here.
So tell me about, okay, you're in Miami. Are you born and raised Miami?
I was born in Jersey, but pretty much raised in Miami. My parents hated the cold weather, so we moved down when I was 4.
And how did God call you into ministry?
Well, this is a funny story because ministry was for those people way over there. It was not for Jose and I. Although we grew up in the church, we were childhood friends, right?
Okay.
So we've known each other forever long. We grew up in the church, always very active, but ministry, full-time ministry, especially pastoral ministry, that was for those people over there. We were not qualified, nor was it attractive. So we got married very young. I was 19 and Jose was 20, and we set off to pursue the American dream. You know, he was a contractor and I was a stay-at-home mom. I would work part-time with the construction business, and I think it was maybe about 6 or 7 years into our marriage where the Lord really started pressing on Jose's heart a desire and a passion for truth, for sharing the gospel message with the people that were entrusted to us, that were surrounding us. So We picked up everything and sold all our belongings, literally everything, and we moved away to North Carolina so that he could study at the seminary there. And I think that's kind of when ministry began for me. I think it was 2003.
Okay. I want to ask about this because we have a lot of women listening who their husbands were going on a track with their career. And then one day they say, "Hey, honey, I think God's calling me to be a pastor." And it's a huge transition. Can you speak to what you experienced as you're watching this growth in your husband? And I imagine he is starting to voice some things to you. How did you feel? And how did you get on board with what God was calling him to do?
Yeah, I think that I was overjoyed because I was witnessing firsthand God doing something huge. My husband, up until that point in life, was pretty much an introvert. I was the one that was active in church, like in the forefront, you know, leading the youth, leading the everything. And once we had our 3rd child, I had to step back because it really was just too much for me to handle. But the Lord used my stepping back for him to step up. And so I began to witness his desire to know the word in a way that we had never been taught, and to share that and those truths that were impacting his life with the kids that he was ministering to. Now, I struggled because I had known ministry as a list of to-dos. Sacrificing my time, my effort, my hours was easy. But now the Lord was asking me to sacrifice myself in a way that it was just difficult. I remember those early days. I reference them when we talk about it. And I'm like, Jose, at that point in life, you were doing ministry. I was not. I was not. I was grumbling and complaining. Yet, I was awed by what God was doing. So it's this weird, I don't even know what to call it, right? Where one part of me is ecstatic and just ready. I was ready to move to Mexico. We found out about this one pastor who had a seminary down in Mexico. And I was like, hey, that's perfect. We could live we had four children at the time. We could live our whole family on a budget of $3,000 a year. That's perfect. Let's move to Mexico, you know, and you can study there. And he was like, hey, slow down. That's a little crazy. So I was willing to take everything and leave. But I struggled. And I think a lot of it was fear of just not feeling prepared, fear of, I was fearful of the kids that we were ministering to, right? I had had a very rebellious teenage stage. And I was convinced that every teenager was going through that rebellion, right? And instead of that drawing me to want to minister to these kids, it kind of like I pushed them away because I was just crippled by my fear.
Mm. Were you afraid for your children, or you were afraid because it touched too close to home for you?
I think all of the above.
Okay.
I think all of the above. I was fearful for the future and what that held. And I was fearful for my limitations.
Uh-huh.
You know, how was I going to, what does love look like? You know, I was just clueless. Mm-hmm. And I didn't have a role model. I didn't have a mentor. I didn't have a pastor's wife that I could pick her brain and say, hey, what is this like? How do I navigate this? How do I think through this? What questions do I ask? You know, it right. pretty much was just Jose and I and God's word.
Uh-huh. I like that you're giving voice to what I think we all experience. Whether you're entering ministry at 50 or at 21, whether you're an established church or your church planting, I think that most pastors' wives, they come to this point where they're like, yes, I see it in my husband. I see what God is doing, but I'm not sure about me. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure what I bring to the table, and I don't even know what that role is supposed to be.
Yeah.
And so it's really not this, I was going to ask you, well, what was the turning point? But I don't think it's this instant where we go, okay, I'm in. I think it's this process of holding both the faith and the fear in tandem and going, okay, Lord, I don't know, but I'm going to take the step today.
Right. Yeah.
So
right.
Is that what you experienced?
100%. And I would say that even that tension was even there while we were in seminary, while he was studying. I remember, Christine, feeling like I was going to be the cause of his demise. And this is because I had a past that was very rebellious. And so I felt like I'm going to be the one that's going to ruin his ministry. He's going to be preaching one Sunday morning and someone's going to stand up and say, you, a pastor? You're married to her? I know her past. She's not worthy. And that, the thought of that just scared me so much.
And you were working through that during the seminary years?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I want to talk about that. But before we move to that, I do want to, you mentioned your husband was a contractor, had a business, and you sold everything.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to talk about the fear, the financial fears, because I think that's another mm-hmm. component, especially for someone switching gears in their career or church planting.
Yeah.
So can you speak to some, did you have fears about finances, and how did the Lord speak to you or work in you regarding that?
Yeah, I definitely had fears, but looking back, I can see that he gave me the faith to take steps. I was willing to sacrifice much. We're both, Jose and I, we're both second generation here in the States. Our parents were Cuban immigrants. We lived what it is to sacrifice much, to have little, and to be okay. Mm-hmm. You know? And I was surrounded by people who were financially very well off, very stable, yet they were lacking so much. Mm-hmm. And so I think the Lord granted me at an early age, because I was 20, I guess I was in my mid to late 20s at that point. But I was able to understand money is not everything. And what we really need is the clothes on our back, shelter, and food. And we're going to be okay. It's going to be okay.
And your husband, did he kind of have that mindset as well?
Yeah. I think we both were thinking this is a season of sacrifice, but it's going to be worth it. It's going to be worth it. And our kids are going to, we're going to have to say a lot of no's. Like, we're not the typical Florida family that goes to Disney 3 times a year, you know, or anything like that. So we understood that there was a lot of sacrifice, vacations, eating out, like all the things that are normal to most families were very abnormal to us in that season. And it was okay. It was okay. We trusted that the Lord was going to use it even to teach our kids, to teach them to value what is valuable and to know what is a need and what's a want, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So
good.
And we saw him provide in so many miraculous ways while we were there in seminary. It was just a beautiful experience for us personally and for our children to watch as well.
I love that your life is demonstrating that. And I do want to talk about what you mentioned about your past. So many pastors' wives can relate to that we have something, maybe not just something, but some things. We have things that we're ashamed of.
Absolutely.
And God's still working it out in us, but yet at the same time, we're called to serve other people and help them deal with their things. And they look at us like we have it all together, mm-hmm. while inside, we know, and we're still working through that. Can you speak to that experience? How did God help you in that? How is he helping you still in that?
Yeah. Yeah. I think it was a long process. It began shortly after Jose started seriously praying about and contemplating the idea of going away to study at seminary. And I was a homeschool mom, figuring out homeschooling because I didn't really know many people. So I was on forums in those days. I was on forums, and I remember reading somewhere, denying who you were is denying who God is. And that hit me like a ton of bricks, Christine. That was a life-changing moment, I would say, in my thought process, because I felt as if I needed to hide who I was. Yet I had this struggle, because unfortunately the image that I had seen of a pastor's wife was what I call the postcard, right? Like, you see a postcard from Miami and it's so beautiful. It's perfect, right? But you live here and you know the reality. Yes, there are beautiful moments, right? But you know the struggles. And so that had been the image of pastor's wife that I had seen. So when Jose started contemplating and praying about going into ministry, I was thrilled. I was hesitant. I was fearful because my true colors were going to come out. I think that as I was navigating scripture, not even really knowing how to navigate scripture because I hadn't been taught, I hadn't been discipled in that area, but just learning truths about who God was, he began to minister to my heart. One thing that my church growing up did very well was teach me hymns. And hymns, the basis of hymns is scripture. And I remember reading that, though your sins are red like scarlet, he'll make them whiter than snow. And I held on to that. I held on to that as a truth. I remember when feelings of condemnation would come upon me, I just think, you know, well, Christ died for this sin. I don't need to struggle with this. Mm-hmm. So in very simple ways, the Lord was ministering to my heart and bringing comfort as I struggled and navigated the possibilities and learn to trust him in that. I remember coming to a place of thinking, okay, there's that in my past. I do need to hide it. And I mean, I can talk about it. Jose and I, we dated very young. I was 14 and 15. We broke up for 2 years. And in that 2 year period, I got into a relationship that was ungodly. I wasn't a believer. I can identify that now. And I ended up getting pregnant and having an abortion. And so this plays into my thought process of church and pastor's wife, because I should have been able to go to my pastor's wife. I should have been able to say, I need help. I need to talk to my parents, and I'm scared out of my wits. Yeah. But I couldn't, because I knew that the track record, right, was it was going to turn into gossip and, you know, anyhow. So I knew there were people within the church that knew what had gone on with my life. I didn't want to be a pastor's wife that was unreal and was a postcard. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so I had that truth, like, I need to be genuine, right? Along with, oh my goodness, how is this going to happen?
Yeah.
You know? So. Yeah.
'Cause you know what it's going to take for you to be real and mm-hmm. authentic is to say what you just told all of us, which thank you for sharing that. Because you know what? There are women listening who are mm-hmm. in your shoes. Exactly. And for you to say that out loud for us to hear is hopefully freeing to them to say, mm-hmm. okay, she's saying the Lord forgives Amen. All things, including abortion.
Oh, yes.
And we can say that out loud to other people, and we can help them. We Absolutely. Can be pastor's wives who are the women that they can come to and say, I'm in this horrible relationship. I don't know how to get out. I'm in this situation. I don't know what to do. So thank you. And I do want to ask about that, because I'm imagining now you're obviously, if you're telling us that, you're vocal about this with the women that you serve. And so I know the answer is to the question I was going to ask, that the Lord gives you eyes to see people that others may not see mm-hmm. and to be able to know what they experience, that because of your life. So can you speak to that? What you've seen God do in you taking that step in fear and saying, I'm going to be real.
Yeah.
What has he done with that?
Well, he's definitely opened up areas of ministry that I didn't expect. People are willing to come up to me. Women, young girls are willing to come up to me and share their struggles with me, share their sexual struggles, their sin, their prayer request, because they know I understand. I've been there. Mm-hmm. I think it's made me more real to them. Mm-hmm. Like it's helped tear down that pedestal that people automatically place us on.
Mm-hmm. It makes the gospel real.
Praise God.
Because if you can say, hey, this woman who is saying the gospel can say, God has forgiven me for this, then maybe it's true for me too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the beautiful thing is that that's not our identity. Mm-hmm. That's not our identity yet. Yet I see how the Lord has used it to tear down any self-righteousness in me, because who am I? Who am I to judge a sister that's struggling with, you know, with desires to be wanted by, you know, a spouse or a man, or I don't know. I can't minister from a place of how dare you, you know?
Right.
I can't because grace was extended to me. Mm-hmm. And I need to extend that same grace mm-hmm. to mm-hmm. others.
So if you could go back to that young 20-something woman who your husband's in seminary and you're thinking, I don't know if I want to do this because I know my life. What would you say to yourself?
Yeah, I think that I wasn't necessarily in a place of I don't want to do it. I did want to do this. I did. I just I had no idea what it was going to look like or how it was going to happen. I think the Lord gave me faith to trust that when someone did show up and say, I know her past, that he would somehow fix it. So I was able to manage, I don't know if manage or surrender maybe my fear, right? Because they were genuine fears. I was able to surrender those to him and know that there's a possibility that this might happen, but let me just hold my thoughts captive and stay here. You know, in that season, he also challenged me. And it was kind of in the same, with the same struggle, right, from my past. There was one specific person who in my heart I held responsible because she was a little bit older than me. And she knew in the season that I was pregnant. She knew I was pregnant. And she could have come and said, hey, Neera, let me help you. You know, I'll go sit with you as you talk to your parents. I'll be a source of support. But she didn't. She didn't. It was like the complete opposite. When we would meet together, she would just talk on and on and on of how expensive it is to have a child and how crazy it is to bring a child. It was horrible, Christine. Oh, no. It was horrible. And this was an older woman who was in church with me, who should have, right? Just said, hey, Neera, I can help, right? And that didn't happen. Anyhow, so this woman and her family moved to North Carolina while we were in seminary. And because while we were in North Carolina, we the pastor at the church that we were at, Dwayne Milioni, had reached out to Jose to start a Spanish ministry in the English church. And so these people, this family from Miami, moved up there. And guess who the Lord entrusted them to? Jose and I.
Wow.
And I had to work through forgiveness. I had to work through just remembering the truths. You know, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus, that I am not who I was 5 years ago. So help me trust you that she is not who she was 5 years ago. Maybe she's repentant. Maybe she's realized, you know? And we never, honestly, we never had a conversation. She never asked for forgiveness. She never, you know, it was kind of like she moved in and everything just kind of like went on as if nothing had ever happened. But the Lord really used that as well to grow me and challenge me and to entrust people to him. Mm-hmm. Knowing that he's the judge and we're all going to answer to him. Mm-hmm. So.
Well, I'd like to switch gears a little bit because we've talked a lot about the preparatory stage of your ministry, but you left North Carolina and you're in Miami and God has called you to minister to Spanish speaking populations there, right? So tell us a little bit about your ministry and what you guys are doing there.
All right. Well, 12 years ago, we planted Providence Road Church in Miami. It is a bilingual church, and my husband preaches both services. So 9:15 is a Spanish service, and then at 11 o'clock is the same passage of scripture, same sermon in English.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, it is really fun. It's really fun. It is really fun. It keeps us on our toes.
Like,
we have to think two languages for everything. So there are there are challenges there, but so many joys and just being able to minister and share the truths that we see in God's word that are for all people and all nations, right? Uh-huh. And see that transform our community.
Uh-huh. Well, I would love to know, in the back of my mind the whole time I'm thinking, what does your family think about all of this? Because you were in New Jersey, you said your family immigrated, I would imagine, hoping to have a better life. Mm-hmm. And then their daughter and your husband, their son, they decide to give up material things. Mm-hmm. In order to pursue this call. And I don't know if they're believers or not, but then knowing that you're raising your children in this, I just wonder if there are, you know, things that you've learned about helping your family understand the call that you're in.
Yeah. Well, thank the Lord. Both sides of our family are believers And so that made it a little bit easier, right? Because they understand that this is a worthy cause.
Mm-hmm. Good.
They have been a huge source of support for us in so many ways. I mean, financially, they've helped us just support. We have six kids. They're pretty much adults now at this point. But in the early stages of church planting, my mother-in-law and my mother were a huge gift.
Amazing.
Oh my goodness. So, so amazing. Cubans, Hispanics are very, very much about family.
Yes.
And so, you know, if honestly, if it was up to my mother-in-law, the only thing I would have done is give birth. That's it. She would have just.
You did.
Well, I did a whole lot more than that. But, you know, like she's just like, what can I do? Can I come over? Can I clean? Can I cook? Can I, you know? And well, those are other things to, right, navigate, because I, in that season of life where I should have welcomed more help, I was struggling with pride and just like this desire of, no, I got it. I'm self-sufficient now, you know? Mm-hmm. So that came up there a bit, but yeah, our families, when we moved, when we told them that we were going to sell everything and move, they were fully supportive. Thank the Lord.
Yes. Praise the Lord that he prepared them. I mean, in some ways they know, you know, they, God had prepared them even in advance.
I think so.
Yeah. I love that. Well, so you mentioned earlier thinking about kids and bringing kids into church planting, and kids, you mentioned not being able to, you know, go to Disney three times a year, and you didn't say that with any sort of, you know, resentment. But I would love for you to speak to, for moms listening who are, they have young kids. I felt this way when we moved to church plant. My kids were 5, 2, and 6 months. And we were moving to a culture that was different. We were moving far away from our family. And I had a lot of fears around my kids. And so you mentioned your kids have kind of, they're basically grown now. Can you speak to some of the fears that you had as a young mom of, with church planting, but, and how God has worked in their lives specifically through what he's called you to do?
Yeah. I think that we have been very blessed in that the Lord rescued our kids at a young age, and that's not common. There's six of them. And so they were growing up, and well, I'm thinking of mainly the older ones, right? So our older three, when they remember clearly when Dad shifted from construction to student, full-time worker, and ministry at the same time. So they remember the sacrifice. They remember the Lord's provision. In those early days where finances were tight, where we were at moments wondering how we were going to pay, you know, whatever, the next school payment or whatever that was, you know, the Lord would provide in miraculous ways. There were people that would call us that we didn't even know knew us, right? And they're like, hey, can we come visit? We thought they were coming to visit because they wanted to start a Spanish ministry in their church, right? And they're like, no. We know that you're a large family and you're studying and you have, you know, so many things that you've got to pay for. And we just want to make a commitment for X amount of dollars for the next year.
Wow.
You know? And so we were very intentional in sharing those things with our kids because we wanted them to know. God is doing this, and we're going to trust him, and we're not going to, you know, say, no, we can't do this or we can't do that if we feel like that's what the Lord is leading us to. So,
right.
So we were able to do that, and just we tried in as much as possible, Christine, to bring our kids along so that they could witness firsthand the things that the Lord was doing. Yes. And I think the transition from seminary to to full-time ministry, whether that was at, my husband was at a local church for 3 years before we church planted, all throughout that, we were trying and as much as possible for them to know and see us in imperfect ways, strive to trust God.
Yes. Yeah, I think a lot of times we, as pastors' wives, we hear all the horror stories about pastors' kids. And so we think, how do we protect them? How do we protect them?
Yeah.
And there are, that is something we have to think about. But we don't want to protect them from seeing ministry, because otherwise they won't see the rewards and the joys and how God is working. So, you know, what I'm trying to say is, don't just think about trying to help them avoid the hard things, but think about intentionally helping them to see the good things and to see what God is doing. Have those conversations. And that takes discipline for my husband and I. What are we talking about regarding the people? What are we talking about regarding what God is doing? Are we even thinking about that?
Right.
Because if we are, it's going to come out at the dinner table and our kids will get to hear that. Mm-hmm. And so there's a lot of perks and joys of raising kids in the ministry.
Yeah.
Right? And that's what you're saying too. I love your perspective is very positive, you know?
Yeah.
So just a last question, what words of truth or hope would you share to women who are listening, who are struggling with any sort of fear? We've mentioned a lot of different topics or areas that we might feel fear. What words of truth and hope would you say to that woman?
I would say, lean into those fears. Lean into God's word. Saturate your mind. Saturate your home with truth. I love one of the things that you say in your church planting book, that, you know, the Lord is after our heart. And yes, that's what he wants. That's what he wants, is our heart. And that doesn't look like waking up at 5:30 in the morning before the kids wake up and, you know, having my coffee, my candle, my Bible, and my journal. You know, it can look that way. It's not that it doesn't, right? It can look that way. But it's that heart that's just dependent and saying, Lord, help me. Lord, help my unbelief. Lord, I need you. Lord, I'm scared. Being transparent with him. I mean, he knows it anyways, right? So just vocalizing it to him, depending on him that way. So lean into those fears, those anxieties, whatever it is that you're struggling with. Lean into the church, into your sisters, into the people that God has surrounded you with, you know? Learn to pray. Pray fervently. Pray about everything, right? I think those are ways that the Lord ministers to our hearts, that he brings comfort, that he gives us hope, that we can then take steps of faith, knowing that we're walking on secure ground, because it's not dependent on me and my abilities, but on the rock that he's placed us on, which is Christ.
That's so good. It can feel like you're out on a limb, hanging, and you feel it. You feel. That's the fear. We feel it because we are out on a limb, but it's there that we get to experience that God is actually God, absolutely, that he is faithful, that he will help us, as you said, each day. And so looking for him each day is so important. Neera, I've so enjoyed this conversation. I've enjoyed getting to know you. I'm thankful for what you and Jose are doing there in Miami. Thanks for joining me.
This has been so fun.
Thanks so much for listening to the Ministry Wives podcast, a production of the North American Mission Board. If you found this content helpful, please subscribe, rate, and review us on your podcast platform, or share it with a friend. You can find this podcast and other helpful resources at ministrywivespodcast.com.